This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, KC.
Morning, guys. How are you?
How are you doing? Thanks for getting up early because I know it was a late night. And what an eventful night it was.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. As I think I tweeted one time, they fixed the NBA All-Star game. I'm still amazed. I thought that was incredible theater, and Commissioner Adam Silver has to be pleased with the changes they made in the format, which were brought to him by Players Association President Chris Paul. And you know, the great thing about Silver's tenure thus far as commissioner is he hasn't been afraid to make changes. Sometimes. To the point of, you know, alienating some people. And you're hearing, okay, it was great finish, but game should end on a non-shooting foul. Well, who said they can't put a wrinkle in next year that says, you know, can't end on a non-shooting foul? Or if you reach 157 on a free throw, there's one extra possession for the other team or what have you. So I think anybody that was there, or, you know, I can only imagine what it was like watching on TV, but anybody that was there could feel the intensity and electricity in the building. It was pretty special.
I love that the players took ownership of the game, and they felt compelled to put on a real, authentic show for everybody. It was almost as though they thought, you know what? What would Kobe Bryant want to see here in this fourth quarter? And they did not disappoint.
Right, and you know, that's the nice thing about what Silver did is, you know, Chris Paul originally brought this idea to the Elam ending to him, and, you know, the NBA kind of put its own unique twist on it by coming up with aggregating the scores after three quarters and then adding 24 points to make that the target score, obviously not the Kobe's jersey. And then, you know, it was the NBA in partnership with the Players Association that thought of the charitable component, which I also thought added a nice twist. I mean, you had Nick Nurse and Frank Vogel trading late third quarter timeout to try to drop a ATO to win the quarter for charity. I mean, when's the last time you saw that in a All-Star game? So it wasn't just the fourth quarter that I thought the impact was felt, but it was obviously much more pronounced in that final quarter.
Casey, I said it was like putting a camera into an NBA open gym in July, because it just seemed like there was a free kind of competitive atmosphere, and you kind of got a sense of who the players respected or valued when they needed that big basket. So I thought that when Team Giannis went to Joel Embiid consistently down the stretch, that was pretty telling to me. And then, of course, I wasn't surprised, but it just reaffirmed that LeBron James and his place in this game, when he was the guy that everything ran through for his team. What about the basketball itself, the way that it went down, surprised you, if anything?
You know, I'm not sure anything surprised me. I mean, it may be a little bit of the post play of Embiid. I mean, obviously, you know, the game has just totally moved away from post play. And, you know, Team Giannis kept going to Embiid in the post. Maybe that was a matchup thing. I mean, Giannis was so good for the majority of that game that he couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't move in that fourth quarter. They were doubling him every time he touched it, sometimes had three bodies in his vicinity. So, you know, I don't know. Nothing surprised me, but I thought it was really pretty fitting that, you make a good point, David, that everything went through LeBron. And, you know, he took the awesome heat check, almost half-court three-pointer for the win, which I had no problem with. But then I thought ultimately what said it all is, you know, it was his passing that really sealed it for them. And, you know, he passed up the shot at the end and dished off to Davis, who was open near the rim when he got fouled for the foul that led to the eventual winning free throw. Because, you know, as great of a scorer as LeBron is, and he's never, you know, been looked as maybe as a dominant scorer, but obviously he's vaulted up the all-time scoring chart. His greatest attribute, his greatest skill always has been his court vision and his passing, and so I thought that was pretty fitting as well.
I thought the league did a phenomenal job of making sure everyone was aware of the rich basketball heritage that exists in this city beyond just the Bulls and the MJ era. And watching all of that this weekend, it made me wonder, why is it that this franchise can't get the kind of free agents that, say, Brooklyn was able to get last year, considering the rich history of basketball here in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, Zach, and obviously that's what the Bulls were pointing towards when they, you know, secured this All-Star game. That was the plan of the rebuild. You heard it not only privately stated, but publicly stated more forcefully, you know, from last season's end onward and throughout last offseason, was this is a season we're going to move towards relevancy. I can't remember if they've alluded to the Brooklyn situation publicly. I know I've heard it privately, you know, that's what they need to create, a competitive atmosphere so that when they are in position in 2021 to have maximum free agent space, that they're in the game for the big name eight free agents. And that is why this season is so objectively disappointing. I mean, I think everybody kind of, you know, when the Jimmy Butler trade was made, accepted, you know, it was difficult, but just kind of accepted that some losing was going to follow. And the last two seasons, while challenging, kind of felt like, all right, well, this is part of the plan. And, you know, this was a season we heard was going to be different. And, you know, it's beyond the one loss record. It's just at times just the fact that they don't feel relevant anymore. I mean, the one loss record is bad enough, but just the fact that they just sometimes don't feel like they're, you know, on the national stage or a relevant or a extremely relevant franchise anymore. That's the part that is so impactful and so difficult. And that's why, you know, there's been widespread reporting throughout the season, including some last night, that there's almost certainly going to be changes this offseason because this season has really challenged the Bulls' overall plan. I mean, this has just been a step back by every measure.
So that brings us to your report, KC, on NBCSportsChicago.com, that the Bulls used this weekend, and Michael Reinsdorf specifically, to kind of improve or maybe cultivate those relationships to find a, quote, empowered presence in the Bulls' front office, which I guess I'm interpreting as would join John Paxson, not necessarily replace him. And how would you interpret what that means? Is that something that has been going on for a while? And what kind of person would they be seeking?
Yeah, so I want to make clear because, you know, the Sun-Times also reported that this weekend was used as an opportunity to kind of advance that notion that we've been hearing about for weeks. And my understanding is that this has been ongoing. And I do think it was intensified this weekend because, look, I always say, like, if beat writers are hearing it, you know it's been out there for a while and been going on for a while. And basically, you know, a lot of places I went this weekend, people would be like, that I know around the league, you know, executives, agents, would be like, oh, those are making changes, huh? You know, like, you know, I'm hearing that they're asking around on people, things like that. So it was pretty pronounced this weekend, but I do think the process has been ongoing. They've been seeking input for a while. As for how the structure will ultimately play out or the candidate that is likely going to be added, who it's going to be, I can't speak to that. I don't even think that they've finalized that. I think they have a general idea that they want to add somebody to run basketball operations and to kind of be the voice and face of the franchise along with John still in the picture, but, you know, just taking kind of a step back, you know, and maybe in the Kenny Williams mode. You know, John has done this before. I mean, people forget that Gar was the face of the franchise for several years and for some very good years. And John was completely in the background, but when they chose to undertake the full rebuild and trade Jimmy Butler, John felt incumbent upon himself to kind of be the face of the franchise and articulate the vision. It was largely his vision, and, you know, everyone, I think, can agree that John is very good at being the face of the franchise. He's a good public speaker. He's got, obviously, some cachet with his playing background and also, I think, his early executiveship days. So, you know, I can't claim to know all the answers. I just know that everywhere I went this weekend, people are like, oh yeah, Bulls are Bulls are making changes, huh? And it's pretty obvious that they're, you know, you just connect the dots. I mean, with what I was saying before and how underwhelming the season has been, it certainly sounds like, you know, they're going to move pretty quickly this offseason.
Now, does this mean that John Paxson is spearheading these changes, or is it Michael Reinsdorf who's looking to tweak the way they do things?
Again, I can't speak to specifically how the format is going to play out or how it's been going on behind the scenes. I know for a fact Michael Reinsdorf has been seeking input on, you know, just from people that he trusts. He's been seeking input, like who obviously he has his own ideas, but he's been seeking input from other people, like who would be good in this role. And that role is, as I put it in the report, is an empowered presence in the front office. Again, where that autonomy begins, where it ends, I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure they know the answer to that. Maybe they do, but I certainly don't. What I can say is, and I wrote this in the story, the first test of that autonomy is going to be Jim Boylan, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Jim just signed a 2-year extension and is still pretty valued by the Reinsdorfs. And I know John has publicly went to bat for him as well. So obviously most, you know, let's call this person GM. Let's give this person a title. Obviously most GMs like to have their own coach. So right there, you're going to, you know, if this expected first hire goes down, which all reporting from multiple outlets has pointed to, that's going to be the first test of this person's autonomy and where that power begins and where it ends. Because, you know, if he's brought in and he's reporting to John, you know, then there might be some pushback on any Boylan changes. If he comes in and he has the autonomy to do whatever he wants with basketball operations, my guess is there'll be a coach search this offseason. But all that, I think, is to be determined.
Good reporting, KC. Thank you for getting up, and great job all weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.